Acts chapter 17, verse 3. Opening and alleging. Now that simply means explaining and proving. Explaining and proving that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, the one that we've preached, the one that we've labored to show you, whom I preach unto you even now, Paul said, is Christ. Friday afternoon, I was running some errands, and there was a man standing in a high traffic area with two signs designed to fit over his head, kind of like a poncho. One in the front, one in the back. The one on the front side said, "Trust Jesus." And the back side said, "Jesus is coming." He had his hand raised high with what seemed to be religious tracts to give to all who may desire to have one. And I suppose to most people this would seem to be a commendable thing. But I'm going to tell you, friends, I could not help but to think to myself, which Jesus is he referring to? Which Jesus is he talking about? Does his sign refer to? And I know that that may sound strange to some, but which Jesus was he encouraging folks to trust in? Which Jesus was he saying was coming again? And some might ask, why would you say such a thing? Well, this is the reason. If you'll turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I'm going to tell you why I asked that. Again, the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4 says, "For he that cometh preacheth another Jesus." You see that? Another Jesus, "whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, bowed to and trusted, ye might well bear with him." Now Paul plainly declares here that there is another Jesus. This Jesus is different from the one that he preached. There's also, as we see from this verse, another spirit and another gospel. Paul wrote in Galatians 1 to the church at Galatia, and he said, "I marvel that you be so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel." And without pausing or taking a breath, he said, "which is not another." You see, there's really only one gospel. But it's called another gospel because it does in no way resemble the gospel of Scripture. "But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." This is the gospel of Christ that we preach. So there is another Jesus, there's another spirit, another gospel, which are not the true ones. And as Paul warned the Corinthians and the Galatians, I warn you this morning, the other Jesus that men preach cannot and does not compare to the one that is proclaimed in this book that you hold this morning. He doesn't resemble him no more than a piece of dried up dead wood. The message of salvation preached by God's true messengers differs greatly from the message of many that pervert the gospel of Christ. And they trouble many, for many are going to hell trusting this false gospel. And we cannot receive a better spirit than the spirit of sovereign grace and truth that is proclaimed from these inspired pages. There are many Jesuses, and that's easily seen when you talk to men and women about the one in whom they put their trust. You don't have to talk to people long to find out that their Jesus is not the true one Scripture proclaims. They'll tell you that their Jesus makes salvation possible. And if you decide to believe it, he'll save you. But the Jesus of the Bible, dear friends, is salvation. There's a difference, big difference. He just didn't make salvation possible. He is salvation. Ephesians 1, you don't have to turn there, but Paul writes, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. God chose his people before the world was ever made, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And he says, having predestinated or predetermined beforehand is what that means, us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. It doesn't have a thing to do with you. It doesn't have a thing to do with your decision, your free will, your good works. Nothing. Nothing to do with it. It's to the praise of the glory of his grace wherein he hath made us. Made us accepted in the beloved. You see, we were once not accepted, absolutely unacceptable, and he made us accepted in the beloved, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to what? The riches of his grace. Has nothing to do with me. It doesn't say in whom we have redemption if we exercise our free will to believe in him. Does it say that? Ephesians 1, verses 4 through 7, write it down, read it. Salvation is in no way dependent on men and women. Salvation is of the Lord. Our Lord said in John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I'll in no wise cast out. God gave Christ to people before the world began, and he won't lose a one of them. Every one of them will come. Well, didn't Jesus die for the whole world? Well, let me ask you a question. Is there a hell? Well, why do you ask that? If Christ died for everybody in the world, there'd be no need for hell, because there'd be nobody there. That's to say that Christ died for someone who can be lost. That is blasphemy. The Lord Jesus Christ effectually died, shed his blood, so that all his people might be saved. So that leaves me to the conclusion that not all are God's people. Paul proclaimed, he said, he'll have mercy on whom he'll have mercy, and he'll have compassion on whom he'll have compassion, and whom he will, he hardened. So what are we going to do? We're going to call God unfair? That's what Paul said. Well, why doth he yet find fault? If he chooses people and they're saved, why does he find fault with those whom he didn't choose? And the Apostle Paul said, who are you to reply us against God? He does as he wills, how he wills, when he wills. And friends, if you go to hell, it's your own fault. People have the impression that God predetermined people to hell. He didn't have to. People are born going to hell. He just leaves them to themselves. That's how people go to hell. He leaves you to yourself. He that believeth not is condemned already. We're born condemned. The psalmist said, I came forth from the womb speaking lies. I was shapen in iniquity in my mother's womb. We're born sinners, and that's why we sin. Oh, I tell you, and you've heard me say this many times, you don't have to teach a young child how to be selfish. It comes as natural as breathing. You don't have to teach a young child how to lie. It comes as natural as breathing because of sin. My friends, God will make you, if you're a child of God that's not willing, he'll make you willing to trust Christ in the day of his power with the same sovereign power that God spoke the worlds into existence. That's what he did, didn't he? He said, let there be light, and there was light. It's the same power that God speaks into the dark, dead soul of a man or a woman, and he says, let there be light, and there was light. We'll never see unless God does that. Well, what must I do to be saved? Well, I tell you what you can't do. You can't give yourself light. You can't give yourself sight. You can believe. And only God can enable you to do that. The difference in a false Jesus and the true Jesus is in the title that is given to the Jesus of the Scriptures. This title I refer to is Christ. Christ. The Jesus of the Bible is the Christ. That's what we read in Acts 17:3. This Jesus I preach unto you is Christ. He's Christ. We, a few weeks ago, looked at the passage in Matthew 16 where the Lord asked His disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And they begin to answer Him honestly. They said, "Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say that you're Elijah. Some say you're Jeremiah or some great prophet." And that's who they thought He was. Many believe that today that Jesus was a great man, a great prophet who did great things. But do they believe He is the Christ? That's the difference between life and death. When our Lord asked His disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter said, "Thou art the Christ." He didn't say, "You're Jesus of Nazareth," did he? He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And the Lord called Peter blessed, for flesh and blood didn't reveal that to him. And flesh and blood will not reveal that to you, friends. Only God Almighty can. If you're here this morning and you've seen that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, it was God that showed it to you. Y'all thank Him. Y'all praise Him and worship Him. Now don't misunderstand what I'm trying to say. I know that the blessed name Jesus means Jehovah is salvation. I know that the angel told Mary, "Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." But here's what I'm trying to say. In the Old Testament, basically, if you wanted to wrap it up in a nutshell, said there's one coming. There's one coming anointed and appointed of God to save His people from their sins. That's what it basically declares. And see, the Jews weren't looking for a man named Jesus. They were looking for the Christ. And the four Gospels, according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, proclaim that this Christ has come and give witness to it by the things that He did. All the miracles He performed. All the people that He healed. Why, even raised people from the dead, gave sight to blind men who had been blind since their birth, fed 5,000 men, not counting the women and children, with just a few loaves and fishes. All this was done to show that He was the Christ, the one whom God had sent to save His people from their sin. Look real quick with me to the Gospel of John chapter 1. They were looking for the Christ. And in verse 19, they came to John the Baptist, because he came on the scene before him saying, "Prepare ye the way." And he was baptizing people left and right. People were coming to see John in the wilderness. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou? Who are you?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." That's who they were looking for. "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elijah?" And he said, "I'm not." "Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." And they said unto him, "Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" And he said, "I'm just a voice, just a messenger, just a nobody. I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as said the prophet Isaiah." Oh, friends, as I said earlier, there are many who describe Jesus much differently and to be much less than God declares Him to be from the pages of this Bible that you hold in your hand. But when He's known as the Christ, the child of God sees who was ordained of God to be and confirmed to have done what God sent Him to do. Do you see Him as the Christ? Now, that's not Jesus' last name. That's the glorious title that God gave him. You remember the time that the Lord Jesus went in back into his hometown? He had already started his public ministry. He had done some mighty works in different parts of the country, but he was coming to his own country, and he taught into the synagogue, and the people were just astonished at his words and his wisdom and his understanding. And they said, "Whence hath this man this wisdom?" You see, they didn't see him any more than just a man. You know how I know that? Because the next question they asked, "Is this not the carpenter's son? You know him, John. He's a boy that worked with his daddy Joseph down there at the carpenter shop. His mother named Mary, and his brethren. He's got James and Joseph and Simon and Judas. We know all them. Who is this man, or who does he think he is? And his sisters, are they not all with us?" They never saw him as any more than the man Jesus, the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, Simon and Judas, and the sisters that were there that day. Never saw him as any more than that. The title Christ means anointed. He was the anointed one sent by God. God's beloved Son, in whom he was well pleased. The Greek translation of the Hebrew word Christ means Messiah. He's the Messiah, which was the official title of our Lord. And this title occurs 514 times in the New Testament. 514 times. That means it's important. Paul said, "If anyone come and preach another Jesus." But Paul preached the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. I want you to see the difference. It designates and distinguishes that he, the Jesus of whom the Bible declares, was anointed and consecrated by God to this great redemptive work as prophet, priest, and king. You have to see him as the Lord Jesus Christ, not just as the carpenter's son, not just as the son of Mary, not the brother of Jack, Joe, and Jim, and Fred. The Jesus that I preach to you according to the inspired volume of Scripture is Christ. Do you hear me? This is Christ of whom I speak. Paul told Timothy, "There's one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." Oh, I'm not saying he's not a man. He's 100% man and he's 100% God. He's all man and he's all God. The only one of his kind. The one mediator between God and men. The Jesus in whom you trust, the Christ, the Son of the living God. John, who penned the Gospel of John, said in his epistle in 1 John, "Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ?" A man that denies Jesus is the Christ is a liar. He's Antichrist. "That denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father." If you don't see him any more than just Jesus, you don't know the Father. Oh, when Lazarus died, Martha heard that Jesus had finally arrived, and she went out to meet him, and she said these words. She said, "Lord, if you'd been here, he wouldn't have died." Now, you know what? That's faith. What she was saying, "Lord, if you'd have made it before he died, he wouldn't have died. You are the Son of God. You have the power. You had the power to keep him from dying." But you know what? She didn't stop there. And she shows even greater faith than that. Because she then went on to say, But even now. He'd been dead for 4 days. Even now, whatsoever you will ask of God, God will give it to you. Now that's faith. That's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus said to Martha, "Your brother shall rise again." He's going to rise again. Martha said, "I know that he shall rise again in resurrection at the last day." And he said, "Martha, listen to me. I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Believest thou this? Do you believe this? Do you believe it? I ask you this morning. Martha said, "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." Our Lord said, "Where have you laid him? Where is he?" And some of them there around about begin to murmur and say, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man Lazarus should not have died? And those that made those comments had not seen him as the Christ, but only as a man. They confessed by their words, could not this man who gave sight to the blind have kept Lazarus from dying? The one before them this day was much more than just a man. As I said a moment ago, he was the unique God-man, the Christ, the Son of the living God, as Peter and Martha both had confessed. And when he gives great witness to being Christ, the Messiah, the anointed of God, he said, roll away the stone. Martha says, it's been 4 days, he stinks. And our Lord said, didn't I tell you that if you would believe, you should see the glory of God? Friends, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to see the glory of God. You're going to see it. You're going to experience it. They took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and the Lord lifted up his eyes and he said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. I know that thou always hear me. But because of these people, because of these that are standing by this day, that they might believe that thou hast sent me. In other words, that they might see that I am the Christ. I say these things. And when he had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And the scriptures say, and he that was dead came forth. Now, you know those words thrill my soul. You know why? Because even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. With Christ. That's the words that the apostle uses. By grace are you saved, and have raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. Where? In Christ Jesus. What do you think of this Christ? Whose son is he? It's God that raised us up and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. John 20 verse 30 that I read to you in the scripture, you know, if you turn there, it said, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Another place it says that if all the things that he did was written in the book, the world wouldn't be enough room in the world to contain the books of all the good things that he did. But these are written. These things that we have before us are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ. He's the Christ, the Son of God, and the believing ye might have life through his name. Oh, I tell you, friends, I'm running out of time. I could go on and on. The Jewish leaders came to him at one point and said, Art thou the Christ? They just asked him. They said, tell us. And he said unto them, if I tell you, you will not believe. Our Lord is saying, if I asked you, if you thought I was the Christ, you wouldn't answer me and you wouldn't let me go. This is as he stood in the judgment hall of Pilate. Why wouldn't they let him go? Because they didn't believe that he was Jesus the Christ. That's why. And also because in the providence and predetermined counsel of God, he was going to go to Calvary and pay the debt of his people's sin. You see, he goes on to say this in that passage. He says, hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God. You know, the place on the right hand of God is reserved for the Christ. Never forget that. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who's even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Colossians 3:1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. It's Christ that sits there. Not some mealy-mouthed Jesus who's trying and willing and wanting to if you let him. God the Son became flesh and dwelt among sinful men and women to take away the sin of all who trust in him. And he's the Christ, the anointed and appointed one of God. Some believed and some didn't. And it's the same today. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. 1 John 5:1. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. Isn't that what you read in the men's meeting? Now let me ask you in closing, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Acts 2:36 says, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly with confidence that God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. Which Jesus do you serve? Which Jesus do you serve? Our Lord's talking to that woman at the well, and he began to tell her all things about herself. And then you know what she tried to do? She tried to do exactly what we try to do, men try to do today. They try to change the subject. When confessed with her sin and her condition before God, she started talking religion, didn't she? She said, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you folks, you Jews, you worship in Jerusalem. And the Lord looked at her and he said, you don't know what you worship. You don't have a clue what you worship. Those that worship God, the true worshipers, that indicates that they're false worshipers. He distinguishes the difference. Must worship God in spirit and truth. And then she says, when the Messiah comes, who is called the Christ, he'll tell us everything. And the Lord Jesus Christ looked her in the eye and he said, I that speak to you, I am he. Let me tell you something. In those three little words, the Old Testament was fulfilled. I am he. There's one coming. I am he. He's come. Now the question is, what do you think of him? What do you think of him? I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and of death. So again, I ask, which Jesus do you trust? Do you trust the Jesus who wants to save everybody if sinners will just let him? Or do you trust Christ Jesus who lives forevermore and has abolished sin? Put it away as though it never existed. You're perfect. Those of you that trust in Christ Jesus right now, when the Lord looks at you, he sees no sin. You know why? You don't have any. You don't have any. It's been put away and punished in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has the keys of hell and death. When our Lord spoke with that Samaritan woman, these are my last words, and he revealed himself to that woman, you know what she did? She ran and told everybody she knew. And these were her words, Gary. She said, come see a man. Not just any man. This man is all man and all God, which told me all things that ever I did. Is this not the Christ? Is this not the Christ? Friends, the Jesus that we proclaim is not just any Jesus. He's Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And your life depends on what you think of him.